Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Friday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Despite one of the flattest weeks for the major indices in months, we are looking at fresh records at the open. Dow only needs 24 points to get there. As Kudlow says, a U.S.-China trade deal is getting down to short strokes. Here's Europe's action and yields as retail sales for October are mixed, as is Empire Manufacturing. Our roadmap begins with the record-setting rally. Stock set to rise again as Kudlow says a deal is getting close.
Plus, quote, unmistakable bias. Amazon planning to protest Microsoft's military cloud contract win.
And Restoration Hardware surging at the open. Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway revealing a new stake in the furniture retailer. Stocks are looking to make some more history a day after the S&P posted its 21st record close of the year. Futures up on comments from Larry Kudlow about progress in trade talks with China. Upbeat news about the consumer also adding to some positive sentiment. Government says retail sales rebounded in October, up a better than expected 3/10. But strip out gas, it's a miss. Strip out autos and gas, it's a miss. As the three-month average continues to slow, Jim.
Look, there's just the mixed pictures keeps making it so it's bullish. It's amazing. If it were too strong, then we would have to say that J-Pal's done. I mean, they're still playing by this taxi, J-Pal. There's just enough tease with trade talk. I have my view on what's happening right now, and it's not as sanguine as what people are saying. We can go into it whenever you want. This is about farm. It's about ag. And it's about, this is my understanding, it's not necessarily about soy. A lot of pork involved because they actually don't have pork. So in other words, this is not one of those buys where they're making it so that the president has a win. They need pork
because African swine.
Yes, the African swine flu. Zoetis would confirm that. I do not think that they're going to buy one more slice of bacon than they need, and that the president's not happy with it. So.
There's some Chinese state media, the South China Morning Post today, saying getting to 50 to 60 billion would be really difficult for the exact reasons you're getting to.
Yeah, so I mean, Larry's got a very positive narrative. Other people in the White House are saying, are you kidding me? They need pork so badly and they're negotiating? Are you kidding? Here's the price you must pay. And so that's the kind of thing, because the Chinese don't seem to want to pay the price. It's a defeat for the president if Larry's out there saying, hey, listen, there's a deal, because the president doesn't want to be trapped into making a deal. He wants a deal that's great for farmers and that pays a lot for the pork that otherwise you couldn't get. So I think that the Chinese are being very adept at basically saying that, hey, we got a great deal for you, but it is a great deal for them. And the president, I think, is sensitive to losing here.
So you don't, I mean, after a year of watching Larry say there's a breakthrough, positive progress, fantastic surprises, you're not buying it.
Larry's a very optimistic fella.
Yes,
I worked with Larry for 4 years. He's optimistic.
Very much so.
He's optimistic about, I don't know, Davey's optimistic that you'll wear better clothes on Monday. I mean, he's always optimistic. But all right, well, it's just an aside. I was looking for something.
My Friday attire, okay?
Yeah, okay. No, look, not to be facetious, he's very pro a deal. There are, I call them the technocrats. This is the John Thornton, Hank Paulson, Henry Kissinger, Steve Mnuchin, Larry Kudlow all want this to be about trade. Now, there are other people in the White House. We know where Lighthizer is. We know where Peter Navarro is, who say it's not about trade. It's about the seven deadly sins. It's about giving up on everything from stop sending us deadly fentanyl to stop the state-sponsored subsidies. And a pork deal does not answer that part of the question. It's not ideological.
Well, market obviously doesn't agree with, I mean, they're optimistic, too.
Well, I think the market likes to be, the market's a little delusional. But if the Chinese say we'll pay the posted price of pork, then the president has something to crow about. So they don't think that they're saying, listen, the $10 billion extra that you want us to pay, the $15, we're not going to do it. If they come up to the president's price, we'll have a deal instantly. Instantly. And then everybody's happy. Mm. And the market is right. So it's really up to the Chinese to make it so whether this market is going to be good.
But meantime, their pork inflation's like double digit, right? How long can they sustain
that? They need our pork. It is, it's kind of antediluvian, but that's what it's about. And the hardliners are saying it's not about pork at all. It's about giving in. And they picked this wrong issue, the Chinese. They're negotiating over something that they would have to buy anyway. This is not soy. I remember when DuPont was telling me, listen, they switched to Brazil. Well, you know, you can switch to Brazil if you want. They don't have the hogs. They don't. It's like not having the horses. They don't have the hogs. They don't, David. David? Mm. They don't have the hogs.
Got it. Really? I never thought we'd be spending this much time talking about pigs.
Well, it's bacon,
the top
David.
Of the show.
David, it's General Cho. In what country is General Cho outranked by a colonel? Dr. French.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't know anything. You ever been to a Chick-fil-A on Sunday?
No. They're not open on Sundays.
There you go. Finally. Yeah. Finally, he knows something.
All right. So then when does reality sink into
stocks? Well, no. I think this is up. Honestly, there will be a deal if the Chinese come up $10.
So, $10
billion. Yeah.
$10 billion in pork purchases.
And there'll be a deal.
And we'll get a phase one signing.
And we'll get J.P. Morgan will be in there, whamma jamma, credit card.
And December 15th never happens?
No. December 15th is fine. Restoration Harbor, by the way, has made their... They're making all their... They're moving out of China dramatically. Everybody's doing that. Now, the hardliners are saying, let's keep stringing them out. Everyone's moving out of China so fast. But the president wants a deal on his terms, and he'll... The Chinese have to come up. They have to come up right now, and the market goes to gazillion, and Larry is on saying we got a big victory. But the Chinese...
You don't think a signing is a sell-the-news event?
No.
Really?
No, because it's the beginning. Well, there are other hardliners are saying, listen, all we're going to give them is that one thing. But if the market goes up big, president loves the market going higher and loves Larry. President loves Larry because Larry's been pretty great for the stock market. I think that they're going to be the Chinese just have to stop playing hardball over something they need. They need it. They don't need the soy.
No, but why? I mean, just we'll end this discussion in a moment. But they found other sources of soy. Why can't they find other sources of pork?
The amount of, because as Zoetis would tell you, we're the only real certified. We're good. You know, our pork is not tainted. At one point we could have been talking about the Soviet Union and bread. You know, they ran out of bread. So I think that this is one of those cases like the Soviet Union where they needed our bread, okay? They need our pork. So the last thing I'll say about it is that they could make one phone call this weekend and we could have a talk. We could have a deal.
And you think that's market positive?
Yes.
All right.
I don't. Will they act rationally? Will they feed their people and give the president a win? That's the question.
All right. We're going to obviously watch it as we do every day. Other big story this morning, Amazon is planning to challenge Pentagon's decision to award that $10 billion cloud computing contract to Microsoft. Amazon contends that politics may have played a part in that award. The president, of course, a longtime critic of Amazon and its founder, Jeff Bezos. In an email to CNBC, Amazon says, quote, numerous aspects of the JEDI evaluation process contained clear deficiencies, errors, and unmistakable bias. And it's important that these matters be examined and rectified. Obviously, this is a big deal even for a company the size of Amazon.
This is a really hard-fought contract. I mean, it went on for years. Amazon always seemed to be in the pole position, but they had a lot of people after them. There were people trying to spread information about bias, frankly, the other way, or about different things that went on at DOD, even under Mattis. All I can say is it's not a surprise that they would do this. Because it was something of a surprise that it didn't go to Amazon. They seemed to be the favorite along the way. And you have to take into account the president's comments and his contempt for the Washington Post right. and its owner, Mr. Bezos. It's a big $10 billion. It's not an insignificant sum of money.
2 years ago, it wouldn't be a question. Amazon Web Services would be vastly superior. I now think that Satya Nadella, Microsoft, they have a very compelling product. You know, if it's six or a half dozen, you know, honestly, I don't think anyone who is choosing right now to use Azure is choosing to use an inferior product. I think Azure can be equal. Now, Amazon Web Services, to their own credit, keeps cutting. You know, they've cut prices like 40 times. But and I could argue that they could cut price and give the government a better deal. I don't understand how they negotiated this. Why didn't the government go back and say, listen, we'll give it to you, we'll pay half? Why didn't the government do that? Did the government? We don't know.
It's been somewhat opaque. Listen, Oracle was in there, Microsoft, Amazon, maybe even some IBM, I think, at some point.
They're not competitive.
It was a, you know, but it was a very toughly fought a battle. Don't forget, Amazon already had the CIA's cloud computing, at least in some fashion. Now, the CIA right. may be going out yet again for a bigger cloud presence and a new contract. But this paves, you know, that's all. This is also linked to that in future contracts. The revenue sources, you might imagine, a revenue is going to be enormous coming from the government yes. as it moves various,
everything's,
even
everything's
the highest up. Level of highest level of sensitivity outside of the premises.
Well, do you think that the president just put his finger on the scale here?
I have no idea. Would you be surprised? Is there anything in any way, given his behavior, that would surprise you? I've never seen that before.
It's a podcast.
He didn't speak.
I don't need to. Look, we got that legendary legendary Ukraine funny man making the calls there. He was supposed to be really funny. I don't know if you see this stuff.
Never. No. I don't speak the language.
Guys, we're going to keep our eye on House intel once again today, the impeachment inquiry hearings, as the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine testifies. And now a new memo from the White House. For that, we'll get to Ilan Mui. Ilan?
That's right, Carl. The White House has now released a memo between President Trump and President Zelensky that occurred on April 21st. It was about 16 minutes long. And in this call, President Trump extends an invitation to President Zelensky. According to the memo, he said that when you're settled in and ready, I'd like to invite you to the White House. We'll have a lot of things to talk about, but we're with you all the way. President Zelensky then accepts the invitation and says he looks forward to the visit. Zelensky also extended an invitation to the president to visit the Ukraine for his inauguration. Now, this is important because, of course, the president has been saying that there has been no quid pro quo in his dealings with Ukraine. In this exchange, he was extending an invitation to Zelensky without any conditions on it. And, of course, they're releasing this memo of the phone call just as the House intel hearing gets underway. So we will continue to read through this text and also monitor the hearing. I believe Chairman Schiff is still in his opening statement, and we'll bring you the latest as we have it, guys.
All right, Ilan, thanks for that. In the meantime, we'll get Cramer's Mad Dash and countdown to the opening bell. Tons of news to get to, of course, this morning, including NVIDIA and AMAT and Under Armour and Berkshire, as we mentioned, Restoration, JCP. Let's get the pre-market here. Squawk on the Streets back in a moment. We got retail sales. Let's get industrial production with Rick.
Yes, this is not a good number. Industrial production down 0.8%. That's a steep drop, double the expectations. We're looking for down 0.4. We did garner 0.1 in a revision, but still negative from -0.4 to -0.3. Let's look at capacity utilization, 76.7, and that is the weakest number going back to, we have to go back quite a ways there. That's the weakest number since September of 2017. Now, let's look at what's going on with regard to the marketplace. Keep in mind, interest rates are up a little bit on the day. We're up a basis point in tens. But as you open the chart up for till Tuesday, because bond market was closed on Monday, you can see we've deteriorated down 11 basis points and from a key level right in the low to mid 190s. If you look at what's going on in Europe, boons, which in many ways, I think, sparked some of the selling a little over a month ago that really started to push rates up and create some optimism paired with some better data at the time and maybe more optimism in the announcement of phase one. Boy, it certainly gave up ground, down 8 basis points on the week. And the dollar index, it is now just hovering above 98. Last Friday, it closed at 98.35. We would have been up on the week, but as you see on this two-day chart, gave up a lot of ground yesterday, and we're not gaining it back today. Carl, Jim, David, back to you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. You too, Rick. All right, let's get to Matt Dash here as we count you down to our opening bell. We got, 17 minutes or six? Sorry. Yeah, 14 minutes. 13 minutes. 13 minutes. I like to count down here. Last Matt Dash of the week. NVIDIA reports earnings.
My head's a little chilly. It's cold in New York, people don't know. So I put on my NVIDIA cap. Why? Because the quarter was excellent. the guide may not be enough, because a lot of people say, listen, if the quarter was so great, why didn't they guide up? There's some issues about whether gaming is strong. That's ridiculous. It's seasonal. David, this is a story about artificial intelligence and machine learning. This is a story about, say, Alexa. How does Alexa know? Now, I'm just picking one. They don't reveal clients, but they can think around the corner. They are so many years ahead of everybody else. And it's also about gaming in the sense that they can they have graphical users, they have GPUs that make it so that it's so lifelike that you'd never want to play on any of the games now.
Nintendo is a big customer. We know that.
Right. That was a big quarter for them.
They sold a lot of consoles.
Exactly right. Wow, that's good. But Jensen Huang has delivered again and again. There are people right now who are skeptical saying, listen, this stock just did this. Sorry.
Wait, I've got to hit something else.
Okay. Anyway, the...
Here, try this. Now draw. Try it.
Okay. That this move was entirely because of this quarter, and now it's what have you done for me lately. I think it regains the high. By the way, you know, one of the things, David, is that people don't talk about anymore, they do simulations. They do simulators, say, for airplanes. Well, isn't that interesting? Don't the pilots need to have another 20 hours?
That's a lot. You think it regains the high?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, because they're so far ahead of everybody else. David, when I went to NVIDIA, they have robots. They say, hey, get me a cup of coffee. And the robot goes, you know, gets you a cup of coffee.
What about your buddy Lisa Su and AMD? Are they a competitor?
They're cousins.
In this market,
you know,
or no?
They're related.
That has nothing to do with whether or not they're competitive.
Well, in gaming, yes, they are competitive. And there's no doubt if you speak to their executives, they will say Lisa Su's done an amazing job in AMD. But she is not in AI at their level. No one is. No one is at their level. Their stuff, you can basically, David, here's one. You like a song? Well, would you like violins in the song? You can use that artificial intelligence and decide, listen, I'm going to put violins in that song. It doesn't have it. And it learns the song. The machine learns the darn song. You listen to Billy Joel and decide you want to put a ukulele. Well, there's only 10 instruments they can put it. I don't know, but I met Billy Joel the other day, and he said, can I have a selfie? Billy Joel, me, self, to me.
Yeah, we heard about
and then he
that.
Said separated birth.
That was the.
He asked me for a selfie.
I'm aware.
Do you know how many times I've wanted his picture? But
America's aware.
Do you know that I'm the spokesman for the American Migraine Foundation?
Yes, they know that too. They know that too. Opening bell, coming your way.
A lot of familiar dynamics in play this morning as industrial production comes in worst in 17 months, largely due to GM. But we're looking at record highs as the market's hoping for a trade deal still. Opening bell in about 7 minutes. You're watching CNBC Squawk on the Street, live from the financial capital of the world. The opening bell in just over 4 minutes as we put this week to bed here on this Friday. A ton of news, Jim, as we just got this pouring through this industrial production number, which, as we said a moment ago, is largely GM related.
Right. Yeah, look, it's really hard to try to figure out. I keep going back to that Walmart quarter yesterday. 275 million people a week go there, and stock reversed. And I didn't really understand the reversal. The stock should be higher, but Doug McMillon kept saying the same. The consumer's strong. The consumer's strong. So if you sell into the consumer, you're doing very well. And if you sell into the manufacturer, you're not. In yesterday, when we had, I thought it was kind of seminal. I don't know if people pay attention, but when we had Chuck Robbins on, he sells into big companies. Big companies are pausing. And he said something really interesting to David, which is it takes more people. More people have to sign off. And that's the kiss of death. Because if we'll be able to sign off, then it's like, let's delay. The consumer, no. It's like, you know, whatever they need, give it to them. And I'm going out next week to Dreamforce because the thing I don't know is, how about software? I know Mark Benioff thinks business is incredibly strong. We know that that Ryan said that Adobe is very strong. Shantanu. So I think that area is strong, but that is, I was doing some work on ServiceNow. Their business is very strong. So I think that you're okay if you're in that software as a service. You're really good if you're selling to consumer, and you're just awful if you're selling to worldwide industrial.
Well, you're going
to
be a Dreamforce, and we'll also get a ton of retail earnings.
Yes.
Walmart being the first of many, but I see yesterday Cowen upped PVH target, Dick's target, the cold weather is helping, markdowns are controlled.
Well, also, look at Kohl's. Now, Chap Just Jones, it had been a disaster, frankly. Suddenly it's back. JCPenney people like Jason Penney's, I know, just like you would say, not really much of a factor.
No.
But they do have Sephora in there. But Watch has been incredibly strong. That's where the action is.
And I know David's got some on this journal Under Armour piece about aggressive accounting and dumping at off-price retailers.
You know, they came back to the story that they did, what was it, last week.
Right.
Under Armour itself just responding and saying they're aware of the recent media coverage and firmly believe their disclosures and accounting practices have been entirely appropriate. And the management and board have reviewed the matter extensively. They go on to say over the last 2.5 years, stand by the company's financial reporting. Because the investigation is ongoing, they're constrained beyond that. But they do say they can't address every allegation. That's where it stands.
I mean, it's one of those things. It's very hard. A lot of this, I think, revolves around Sports Authority. Sports Authority had financing to be able to buy Under Armour stuff. Under Armour sends a lot to them, and then Sports Authority closes. So it's very hard, just like it's very hard for Hasbro to figure what to do with Toys R Us. And all these things kind of coalesce at the same time. I did not see a smoking gun in that story.
I think there was no memo. That's the general take on the story, is that...
Where's the smoking
gun? It's hard to square that with a legitimate probe of any kind of...
This is not Valiant, where they were sending it in order to stuff the channel.
No, but it has been going on for a long time. You were very outspoken in criticizing them for not having disclosed it.
Well, but then again, when I did some more work on it, because the Justice Department did not specifically tell them what they were investigating, they didn't know what to disclose. That was the rap internally. Like, what do we disclose? That the Justice Department's been hanging around? The Justice Department didn't tell. It wasn't until they leaked it to the Journal today that they got, no, this is, they didn't really know what to say. Mm-hmm. That's why they didn't disclose.
Right.
Like, what do we do? The Justice Department's in our building? I mean, what do you do? Charge them. You know, it's like when you're in the station house. I'm leaving if you don't charge me. Got it?
Yeah.
But you don't like that answer?
You're critical.
Well, they come back and they're saying, if you charge us, we'll disclose. Interesting. They haven't charged us. The Journal's charged them. But the Journal doesn't have subpoena power, David.
There's the opening bell on the S&P 500. Breadth pretty good here at the open. At the big board, it's Broadmark Realty Capital, celebrating its IPO at the NASDAQ Movember, a global men's health charity. Do you let your beard grow a little thicker in November, Jim?
I don't know. I got this guy cuts my hair. Clever barber. I say, do whatever you want. I don't care. He does whatever he wants.
I like you with the hat.
He charged me $40.
It's kind of a...
You like that?
A sharp hat.
$40, I give him a nice step, flip him. I don't know how much you flip them when you do things. I flip them. David, how about Applied Materials?
How about that, AMAT?
I mean, that conference call was like it was like Circus Maximus. You know, hey, we're crushing them. And they even said, look, NAND is definitely bottom. Now, I had dinner with Sanjay Maratra the other day. Sanjay's Micron. He also agrees that NAND is bottom. These guys actually signaled that DRAM is bottoming. It was a joyous call, and particularly because they said this is the highest trough ever. It was only a four-quarter correction, and the company never really, you know, it used to be the old days, you would get crushed during these inventory gluts. Look at that chart, David.
That's a thing of beauty, that chart, if you own the stock.
Exactly, David. It's what would you call it, a Rembrandt? It's more realist, or do you think it's more post-expressionist?
Postmodernism.
Postmodern?
Yeah.
But it is such a good... I have to salute them. And by the way, if we're saluting, look at Lam Research. Lam Research at 150 made a stand on their stock. Tim Archer, the great CEO, said, listen, we're buying every share. And people laughed. They all laughed at him. They laughed in the valley, David. Now look, they're not laughing now.
I see Lisa Su's been added to the best CEOs of the year again this year.
She was HBR's number one last year.
Hey, Matt, that's going to take you back to 61. Is going to take you back to March of last year.
It's incredible. And by the way, Lisa Su, remember, people thought that last quarter was not great. Stock fell from 33 to 31. Still one more buying opportunity. David, apparently there was unusual option activity. Advanced Micro.
When was this?
Yesterday. Advanced Micro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was watching. You know, Scotty's got a lot of stuff going on there. Hey, we haven't mentioned billionaires.
No. I'm sure we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Apple, 264, record high. Okay. I see JPM goes to 290 today.
It was a brilliant piece. It was a brilliant piece.
3% of the year now.
They are starting to talk about the bundle. This is going to reveal the lifetime value of a customer to Apple. This is what's going to do.
Well, I'm sorry. What's the this?
The bundle. You'll be able to figure out if a guy takes a bundle and say, okay,
customer. You mean the linking together
you'll
of
do
all
the present
services.
Value. You can do the present value of a contract and be able to come up with what the value ultimately of this.
And pretty soon.
Very soon.
2020, right?
Yeah, and I know when I ask him, and Josh laughs about it, Josh Lipton, but I've been saying this to them over and over, and they now finish the sentence. I'd like to get the president and Luca, the CFO, says value of the bundle. Yeah, you know, I use a broken record about breaking out service. Now I'm a broken record, and they're going to listen to me, and the stock's going to go to 300. And you should own it, not trade it.
Not to mention that Cook and the relationship he's fostered with the president seems to have minimized any tariff risk, right?
Well, you know, strange bedfellow, kind of crazy, but he's got a great with Xi. Hey, listen, 2 million jobs in the United States involving apps. 2 million jobs in China. I mean, the guy is a jobs machine. He provides more jobs than anyone other than maybe Walmart and the government itself.
Are you counting suppliers?
I'm counting all the suppliers, but also like
apps.
When they have the yeah. I mean, I have friends who design apps. And I designed an app that you give them 30%. We have Snap CEO one Monday.
Well, we tried to get Evan on a couple of weeks ago, and the fires intervened, as you recall.
Oh, my. You know, he's the man. He's the man, because if he can monetize, that's going to be the best interview of the year. That stock goes to 17 if he can say,
interview
I have.
Year.
Well, no, in terms of moving a stock.
Oh.
Because if he says the magic words, the consumer packaged good companies and I, we have figured out how to do programming. Mm-hmm. David, I don't know if you'd see, they have like 90% share of the people that everybody wants to reach. That's a big interview. I don't know who you got that. I'm a little jealous.
Julia has that at 10 a.m. Monday.
He and I are good friends.
You and Evan?
Yeah.
That's great.
He does.
Congratulations.
That's not a true statement.
No, I know. No.
Just want to make clear to America.
No, it's not.
Yeah. You're not good friends.
No, and then, you know, I also want more than that T-shirt. I mean, honestly, go to TJ Maxx and get a button down or something.
You did NVIDIA during the mad dash. The stock's not doing much of anything. I did, you know, I think it's worth every so often in just stopping because they do report adjusted EPS measures.
Oh, you're going to blast them?
I'm not. I'm not going to blast them, but I am going to take this as an opportunity to point out how much adjustment is going on in every single one of these.
There's $6 billion in cash.
They'll finish the Mellanox deal
in the first quarter, David, and they'll buy back all the stock.
Oh, they did delay. They did say it's going to take a little longer.
We got European. We got a little Chinese indecision.
They did go on. I mean, if you want to read the footnotes, the reconciliations adjust the related GAAP financial measures. They exclude stock-based compensation expense, legal settlement costs, restructuring, other acquisition-related and other costs, gains and losses from non-affiliated investments, interest expense related to amortization of debt discount, and the associated tax impact of these items where applicable. Just want people to know. There's a lot of adjustments going on. By the way, Microsoft doesn't adjust anything.
Mr. Clean. It's not just Mr. Clean. I didn't like what you just said about. I mean, that does hurt. It hurts the investment case. I admit that. Just like it hurt Salesforce's adjustment case. When that stock was at $8.
Mentioning what companies are adjusting for.
No, that's true. And if we didn't have good cash flow and there wasn't a big cash position, I would say, you know what, we got to do more digging.
Right.
But, so you're absolutely right. You want to pay adjusted GAAP.
I'm not picking on.
No. And you're right. The adjusted GAAP, I just wish it were just, I like apples to apples. There's not, I mean, we have adjusted GAAP when we do.
And by the way, that's the other thing. One company's adjustments is not another company's adjustments. They adjust for different things.
Right. Well,
and by the way, companies that are serial acquirers but are adjusting every single quarter for acquisitions.
Do you see GE? GE's trying to make it so that it's going toward what you want.
Right.
The cannabis stocks are not going.
GE's just pushing up on $100 billion market cap again.
That's notwithstanding Tusa's note from Wednesday, where he said that GECAS remains a tool to manage quarters, essentially, right?
I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say it for the record, okay? He is become very boring.
Really?
Yeah.
You've turned on Tusa.
Yeah, I have. I've turned on Tusa.
because he didn't nudge his, what's his target? Is it still five or six?
Look, when it was at six, he had an opportunity. Two just happens to be one of the nicest people in the world. But the fact is that the stock is saying, look, that was really good. That was solid work.
But, but
that was terrific, but we moved on. Now, I'm not willing to take a helmet to Tusa's head. I'm not going there.
Good. I'm
right.
glad to hear
I'm
that.
Not going there, but I will throw a red flag, challenge flag to his most recent research. And it may be one of those, it may be a defense, you know, I'm challenging the defensive holding. But his stuff, as good as it is no longer relevant to the stock price. Now, you want to be right, but more important, you want to be relevant. And he's not relevant. He's still relevant to 3M, but he's not relevant to GE. Oh,
that's interesting, Jim.
Yep.
Aurora is catching up to the Tilray Kronos. What, do we call it a disaster at this point?
Yeah, I mean, oh, geez. I mean, you go to Aurora, the analysts, the long knives are out. A lot of people have been calling about, you know, burning the whole crop in Canada. You know, kind of like an agricultural adjustment in the 1930s. That piece was just, the Aurora quarter was an abomination. The best thing that they're doing is that they're canceling a giant facility that they were going to build. It's just, I mean, look, this quarter is just, I don't know. They're setting benchmarks here. MKM has a fantastic piece. Aurora's curtailing capital spending by immediately ceasing construction on Aurora Nordic 2.
And the Aurora Sun. To more closely yes. align with demand expectations.
It's not. Wow, what a chart. Holy cow.
We had Canopy CEO, interim CEO,
how was
on yesterday as well.
Yeah, that
Similarly,
was. Oh, actually, I heard that.
They have inventory issues. They're trying to get a lot more stores built quickly for distribution purposes. Places like Ontario, where they have one for every 600,000 people.
You know, there's a place in North Ontario. Blue window across the sky. Well, that's where they need to open that blue window that Neil Young had and throw all the cannabis in because there is way too much cannabis
that's
and they can't remember Canopy Growth, a big stake by Constellation Brands.
Very
it turns
well.
Out that the way you want to do the thing you had to have was hard seltzer.
They might have wanted
Truly.
To wait until the stock was down here.
They have enough. They can just like take your company
where
private.
They
don't really
do
have a CEO. That gentleman is resigning. Isn't it interesting that no one seems to maybe take that CEO job? Unless it could be like a Bed Bath where suddenly the Target merchandise guy takes it. I don't think so. Constellation has a very good CFO, and he's on the board of Canopy, and I think they'll pick someone good. But it is very frustrating because America did not go this way. And Kronos, people are starting to think that Kronos is joining Juul with hapless investments.
You had oversupply. I think vaping, maybe the cannabis vaping
so
problems might have hurt.
So important.
Yeah.
People don't know what, now there are people who say, listen, it's a particular chemical, but the edibles, not coming. Where's the cannabis beer? Not coming.
Lack of follow through from major CP.
There's
right?
PepsiCo and Coca-Cola.
Consumer packaged goods.
You've got James Quincy on the record saying, listen, no. Hugh Johnson, no. I mean, we need these companies. Campbell Soup could use a little cannabis. It's not happening.
I don't believe it.
And THC, by the way, you can't even mention it. Nothing changed. THC sends you to jail. One of the problems that everybody has is that we don't know what the troop or the police, when they pull you over, we still don't know. Each person reacts differently. You have 90 proof liquors. People react 90 proof. It's pretty everybody. But you do not THC. One guy's square of a THC chocolate bar is equal to enough to send you to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And another guy, it's like, give me another. I don't feel any different.
Mm-hmm.
David.
Yeah, dosing is very uncertain. You have to be very careful.
Thank you.
Hey, finally, Jim. Euro's at its highest level against the dollar since early November.
Yeah.
And then BAML has a note about rotation out of U.S. into Europe.
Look,
inflows into Europe and EM.
Yeah, I mean, after Brexit, things are good. Now, Chuck Robbins threw cold water, Cisco CEO, on any turn in Europe. I am getting lots of people who are saying, you know what, there's starting to be some activity in Europe, chiefly Spain, some in Germany. But nothing really to make you excited. What we need to see is a bank revival. The biggest bank in Europe not doing that well. You know what that is. Say it. I demand that you say it.
No.
Santander. You wouldn't even
Banco Santander.
Stop it. That's making fun of
You do that all the time.
No, I stopped doing it.
Oh.
I stopped doing it, okay? I just want to make people know I don't make fun of that, and that bank is darn good. I'm using them in Mexico, and they do a good job. Ana Botín survived. Everyone else? No. Monty DePosky. Keep your money there overnight. Would you do it? Yeah.
Maybe. Record highs across the board. 3106. Let's get to Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, guys. New highs. Retail sales a little better than expected. Industrial production not so good. So mixed economic news. But again, we're sort of moving on the trade headlines as we often do here. So here's your trade headline mover: semiconductors. Banks up. We finally got yields up today after several days of down moves in yields. Banks have been a little bit on the weak side. Transports. There's another trade mover here. Retail doing well. Retail across the board is doing well this morning. Utilities a tad weak. As the yields have moved to the upside right now. If you take a look here for the week here, this sort of reflects the indeterminate nature of the week because you've got semiconductors up and utilities up on the weeks. Banks are still down because, remember, we had a significant move down in yields this week. Again, a lot of this is just trade confusion. We're not quite sure what exactly is going on, how close to a deal we really are, and the markets kind of reflect that. I know there was a little bit of disappointment on NVIDIA and what was going on there and somewhat light guidance, but look at Applied Materials, semiconductor capital equipment company, and the old high is $61, and we are essentially there. We're sitting right at the doorstep of an historic high for Applied Materials. The numbers were excellent, and the guidance, the sales guidance for Applied Materials was outstanding, and they have raised numbers right across the board. Sales guidance, price targets raised at J.P. Morgan and Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo, RBC, and of course over at Nomura, they upgraded Applied Materials. The important thing about Applied Materials, this is largely Asian sales company here. Only 9% of the revenues are in the United States, and the rest are essentially the major part are all in Asia: China, South Korea, Taiwan, Japan. So when they raise the sales guidance, that's a good sign that we're certainly not seeing a collapse in demand for a semiconductor capital equipment company. Remember, that's the equipment that actually makes the semiconductor stuff itself here. Finally, retail sales. I have four things that I like to watch in retail sales. Easy to understand for everybody. And generally good news overall. Internet sales, 14%. That's a strong number. This is year over year. That's the way I like to watch this. That's a good number, close to the highest numbers of the year. Restaurant and bars always like to watch that. People are still going out, up 5%. That's another very strong number that you're seeing overall. And, of course, we all know what's going on in department stores. This is a weak number. But we've been seeing this all year. Apparel down 3%. So people are still going out. They're certainly spending a lot. They're spending online a lot. Those numbers keep going up. It's the stores, in-store numbers, that keep going down here. Just a confirmation of trends we've been seeing all throughout the year. Sitting just off the highs for the day. Carl, back to you.
We'll see in a little while, Bob Pisani. Meantime, Bob Iger sharing his secrets of success on a learning site called Masterclass. The Disney CEO offered up some negotiating strategies.
There's no way that you can achieve great gains without taking great chances. I'm going to cover a number of subjects: leadership attributes, how to manage creativity, how to develop a strategy. The role of humor in the workplace is just an extraordinary distraction, and there really is no place for humor at the Walt Disney Company.
Interesting. Masterclass, of course, does online videos. They've had Steve Martin teaching comedy and Annie Leibovitz teaching photography. He talks a bit about going into negotiation, putting everything on the table immediately.
Well, look, first of all, in his book, he's the only person who seems to be friendly with Steve Jobs, toe-to-toe. In the book, there's this great moment of humility where he's basically fired. You know, he learned from his setbacks. And in the end, I think he's a very inspirational figure. I think that we're just now beginning to learn who he is. He's starting to open up. He's always been pretty buttoned down. And the more he talks, the more you realize he's teaching younger people how to be in business. He's actually transcended, I think, the elder. Like, my generation is the generation that says, you have a migraine? Take two Excedrin. He's that. He's not that. He's starting to, he understands younger people. And maybe it's because of theme parks. I don't know. But he has a tremendous bead on what it was like when he was younger. And a lot of people who are successful have forgotten. Not him. He always talks about his dad. and what it meant for his dad, who was troubled, and what it meant for him. And he had the stuff in there. He attacks people. I think he felt he was going to be retired when he wrote that book.
It actually is evidence that he really did think he was not going to be the CEO any longer, the fact that that book came out.
I know.
Because he'd committed to it in some time in advance when he thought he was going to be. 2021, obviously, is now the year, and there's a lot of debate and question about who it is that is going to replace him. And as next year we move into it, it will become certainly something we tend to.
I want to be one of the 100 people fired who make millions at CBS.
Boy, they quietly fire a lot of people at Disney. Don't forget.
Yeah, that's true.
Fox deal, a lot of people.
Well, make it less quiet.
That's another. He's good at that too.
He actually talks about the price paid for the Fox assets as part of this video. Last week, of course, he mentioned bringing more sports to big networks, Disney networks, which brings us to football, Jim. I mean, you talk about water cooler moments. This Myles Garrett moment last night is one reason why people watch. It's something we have in common.
Yeah. Everyone's, I know, sick about this. Guys down there giving the business. But this is just lawlessness. I think that someone's going to have to get prosecuted to finish this stuff. I do not know. Very discouraging. By the way, Bob Backus was talking about why the NFL is going to stick with CBS, which is the incredible how good the coverage is, how beautiful. That was, I mean, I hate to say it, but that was the best footage I have ever seen. They had everything.
Yeah, it's a very unfortunate moment. Not going to take away from the NFL's power, though.
No.
And when it comes to our part of the world and business, that contract and the renewals, which is going to, again, next year, be a big deal, particularly for companies like Viacom.
Viacom is so Bob Backus is so confident, David.
Fox.
He's so confident.
And for Disney, ABC has said it will participate, and Amazon as to what they're going to try to peel away.
And NBC flexed the Eagles down to a 1 o'clock game. How the mighty have fallen. We were supposed to be the night game. America's game.
It's better. Time to stay up late.
It has been quite a year for Snap. Stock's been on a tear, as you know, with a gain of more than 160%. As we mentioned earlier, Monday, an exclusive with Evan Spiegel right here on Squawk on the Street at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Record highs for the Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P. We're at 3107. S&P record high, obviously best gain for the year so far in about 5 years. And here's some of the leaders for 2019. AMD, Lam Research, KLA, Xerox, and AMAT having a very good day today. Dow's up 97. Jim, what's on Matt tonight?
Live person. When you speak to some people, when you call on a data center or call center, sometimes you get live person. And then Covetrus, which is anyone who has dogs. My dog, of course, is named NVIDIA and uses Covetrus products for inflammation. NVIDIA, my dog's not doing so well today.
Oh.
I think there was a guy who questioned their accounting.
That's not true. Just a lot of adjustments going on with your dog.
You questioned Under Armour's accounting. You questioned their accounting. Is there anyone's accounting you're not questioning?
It's a lot of adjustments.
Okay.
And then next week we'll see you at Dreamforce.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, the lineup there, my people tell me, is so good that I'll be at 3 a.m. with you.
And they usually book it pretty well.
They do.
Yes.
They're great. Heather Gaines, fantastic. Katie Spencer, amazing.
You have a great team.
And Regina Gogan, executive producer.
It's never easy being out there because you're doing everything live.
We have to crush it.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.